Hallelujah. Well, we're going to continue talking about knowing God today. How many know it's so important for us to know Him? Amen. You know, we always talk about how we want to move of God. We want to move of the Spirit. I mean, you can't really have a move of the Spirit without knowing God. Hallelujah. How would you recognize if He was moving if you didn't know anything about Him? You know, some people, they get in there and they all of a sudden the Spirit of God begins to move and does some things, and then they're like all freaked out about it. It's only because they don't know God. If you knew God, you would know that, hey, this is God. Amen. Hallelujah. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love You, Lord. We thank You, God. You're so faithful. You're so good. You're so wonderful. I thank You for Your anointing, Father God, upon this service today. I thank You that, man, your presence has already been here. There's many of us here have already sensed Your presence. Heck, we were standing in the middle of the prayer room, just quiet, and you could feel the thickness and the power and the presence of God in that room. So, Father, we just thank You so much that You are here. Hallelujah. We recognize that You are here. Hallelujah. And we love You, Father, and we thank You for being here. And we thank You, Father God, for allowing us to enjoy and to embrace Your presence today. And I thank You, Father God, for each and every person that is here, Father God, those that are watching online, those that may listen, watch this later. Lord, I thank You, Father God, we come with our hearts open, receptive, and ready to respond. Faith without works is dead, being alone. We've got to have corresponding action to our faith, what we say we believe. If we say we believe that You exist, then we're going to act like You exist. If we say we believe You're a healer, we're going to act like You're a healer. If we say we believe You're a provider, we're going to act like You're a provider, and on and on and on. So, Father, we just bless You. We love You. We receive all that You have for us today. We open our hearts and say, God, fill us up. Fill us up today. Show us. Reveal Your word to us, Lord. And so, Father, I thank You for Your anointing upon these lips of clay. Help me to speak Your word. Uncompromised by any outside force, but it would land on each and every heart, custom fit, as You have designed it for us today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Glory to God. You know, there's a statement that's been around for a while. It's talking about politically correct. Everybody tries to be politically correct with everything that they say. Did you know you can be so politically correct that you're spiritually incorrect? Selah, while I take a drink of water. You can be so politically correct that you're spiritually incorrect. Amen. So we're not about political correctness around here. I am not going to be talking about politics today, so just relax. It's okay. But that was just on my heart to share that, you know, it's about being spiritually correct. The Bible says seek ye first. It didn't say seek ye first your natural governments. It says seek ye first the kingdom of God. Right? Seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things that we need, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, where we're going to live, what we're going to wear, all these things that we, all of our natural needs. Seek first the kingdom of God, put that above everything else, and then all these other things will be added. See, religion has told us if you're serving God, you just have to, you know, do without everything. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Now, there is a giving up of some things in the world, because the Bible says you cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God at the same time. So you can't say, well, I just want everything the world's got for me, but I want what God has for me. No, there is a giving up of something. I've had to give up friends to move forward with God because they were not contributing to my destination. I've had to give up some things. I remember one time I had to give up basketball, and back then when I was younger, I was a basketball fanatic. I mean, I came home. I would get up in the morning and go play basketball. If I had a mid-afternoon shift, I would get up and go play basketball before I went to work. And I would be out there and play as long as I could until I had just enough time. This is going to gross some of you out, especially the girls. But I would play long enough, and I'd be so sweaty that I had just enough time to go in, grab a towel, wipe off my sweat, brush my hair, throw my clothes on, and get to work. Forget the shower. Showers didn't matter, man. I'm a basketball player. Right? But it was affecting my relationship with God, and it was affecting my relationship with my wife. And the Lord said, put your basketball in the closet. And I did. And it helped my relationship with God, and it helped my relationship with my wife. And he didn't let me play basketball for 2 years. You know, but it was worth it. So there is that, right? But God has some good stuff for us. I don't know how I got off on that or why. I don't know if that's for somebody you needed to hear that. But that's not what I came to preach about today. In a way I did. It's about knowing him, though. It's making your relationship with God your top priority. Right? We're sitting here right now, right? You're sitting there. I'm up here speaking. You're out there. You're listening. I want to encourage you before I say anything else. Your focus right now should not be on me. Your primary focus. And I don't mean start pulling out your phone and playing games. Right? Texting your friend across the sanctuary or the way they do it today, texting your friend right next to you. You know? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm talking about is we come to church and our primary focus should be on, Lord, what do you have for me today? Yeah. Lord, yeah. Not PK, mm-hmm. What are you going to do for me today? No, Lord, mm-hmm. What do you have for me today? Now, I'm just the vessel. Yeah. I'm just a vessel, right? How many know when you go to your sink to get water, you go to your refrigerator to get water, your focus is not on how the water is flowing up from the ground, getting into the water line. It's working its way through the refrigerator mechanisms, and it finally gets to your glass. Your focus isn't on the vessel. Your focus is on the water. Your focus should be on God. So be mindful. In other words, as we're going through this message, ask the Lord, Lord, what are you speaking to me? What are you showing me today? Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, let's get going. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, are you there? If you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. We'll have it on the screen. Last week, we were talking about these things. And one of the scriptures we looked at is this very, very scripture here, and it talks about knowing God. It says, you know, of course, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that we don't see with the natural eye. So we can, in other words, we can believe God for things before we ever see them or feel them or experience them in the natural, right? Right? And that's how God brings those comes to pass for us. But over here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, it says something else about faith. Well, if you look through down Hebrews chapter 11, just randomly looking down different verses, you're going to see a lot of times it's known as the faith chapter because it starts off with now faith is, right? But then it also says things like this. It says, by faith, Abel did this. By faith, Noah. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Right? But let's look at this. Because it talks about this guy named Enoch. And Enoch, the Bible says that Enoch, and I'm not going to re-preach my whole message last week, but it says that Enoch walked with God. And he was not, in other words, he did not die physically, for God just took him. In other words, he walked so close with God. Well, it says here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, it says, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known. Now, why did God just take him? Watch this. Focus. Ken, focus. Okay. All right. It says, he disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. He was known as a person that pleased God. Isn't that really what we're trying to do here? We live our life, we live our life and we just want to please God. You know, but our salvation is not based on everything that we do, right? Well, our salvation is based on the fact that Jesus came, died on the cross for us, and gave his life for us, shed his blood for us, and brought us back into relationship with God. Amen? if you accept and receive that. If you're here today and you've never done that, then I would love to introduce you to God today. He is an amazing God and wonderful Father. And the mistake we make sometimes is we compare our Heavenly Father with maybe earthly fathers, and maybe you had a great father, maybe you didn't. But don't base it on that. The fact of the matter is, God is a better father than any of us. God is a better father than the greatest natural father that's ever walked this planet. He is just better. He's better. Amen. My dad was a wonderful dad, but God is much better. Amen. And I love my dad, and I'm going to see him again one day. Hallelujah. He's up there kicking it with Jesus and just kind of biding his time till we get there. Hallelujah. Having the greatest time of his life. All right. But it says here in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Enoch was taken up with heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. And we kind of talked about that last week about him. He was just kind of walking out there. He remembers grandma and grandpa, Adam and Eve, telling him all about their conversations with God. And I'm not going to go into all that. I'm not supposed to repeat myself. All right. So here we go. It's online. So you can go back and listen to it. All right. Verse 6, it says, and, so he says he was known as a person that pleased God, and it is impossible to please God without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe two things. I'm going to talk about two things today. We're going to talk about these two things that what we must believe to come to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those for to please God, you must believe two things. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists. You must believe that God exists. You know. And the other one is we must believe that he is a rewarder. Well, here's the problem. Why does a lot of people don't feel like they truly know God? Because do you walk around with a sense that God is always right there? Or is God just some cosmic power out there that he's so distant you can never really get to know him? Some people believe that there's no way you could ever truly get to know God. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Man, Enoch knew him so well that he was just walking along with God one day, and God's like, you know what, just go ahead and stay at my place. Right? I mean, how wonderful is that? Right? But do we walk around with a sense that God is here? We just got through singing that song, Waymaker. You are here. You are here. Or are you singing lies or are you singing truth? Come on. Do you believe that God is right here, right now? I think even if you don't, that's okay. No condemnation, because by the end of this message, I believe you're going to see in the scripture where God is here. God is always here. In fact, God is always everywhere, all at the same time. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. It's called the omnipresence of God. He is everywhere at all times. Amen? But he says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that he exists, that he is. So we believe. And here's the thing about believing. Believing is a decision that you make. You choose to believe. Here's the beautiful thing. Your mind is your mind. It's not somebody else's mind. Your mind is your mind, and you have the right to choose to believe whatever you want to believe. Now, every belief system is not correct, but what we're talking about is you have the ability and the right to choose to believe. So you can choose to believe what this book says. And I have. And I have not turned back. I will never turn back. This book, Heather was singing that song a while ago, great is your faithfulness. God is faithful to his promises. Great is your faithfulness. He has shown himself faithful to me over and over and over and again. Now, does that mean that I've always gotten everything that I wanted? No. There are some things that I've wanted God to do for me that God's like, no, that's not in your best interest. But that's never had anything to do with keeping me sick. That's not God's will. It's not God's will for anyone to be sick. It's not God's will for anyone to be broke, busted, and disgusted, as I say. Right? No, God wants you blessed. Right? All right. Let's go over to Hosea chapter 3. Because he says two things here. He says, those who come to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. But let's look at the he is part first. And then we'll come back and touch the rewarder part. All right? Over in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3, listen to this. It says, "Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us," everybody say us. Say, that's me. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Right? But look at your other neighbor and say, but I'm going to focus on me. All right? Okay? We always like to point fingers at everybody else. But remember, when you're pointing at them, you got three more fingers pointing back at yourself. Right? We've all heard that. But he says here, let us press on to know him. Let us press on to know him. So in other words, whose responsibility is it if you don't know God as well as you want to? It's ours. He said, let us. He didn't say, oh, that we might know the Lord. The Lord is going to press us to know him. No, the Lord is a perfect gentleman. He is a perfect gentleman. Ladies, girls, do you know what a perfect gentleman is? A perfect gentleman is a gentleman that does not force you to do anything. They don't impose their will upon you for anything. Keep that in mind. That's what a perfect gentleman is. So if you're hanging out with somebody and seeing somebody and dating somebody and they're trying to impose their will upon you, they are not a gentleman. And you need to head for the hills. Hallelujah. And get away from people like that. God did not call us to control one another. Amen? All right, but he says here in Hosea 6, he says, oh, that we might know the Lord, and then he tells us how to. Let us press on to know him. Watch this. So let us press on to know him, for those that come to him must come to him and believe that he is. Right? I'm going to press on to know the Lord. And then he says this, he will respond to us as surely as the arrival of the dawn or the coming of the rains in early spring. Let's get to know God. It is impossible to please God without faith. For those that come to him must believe that he is, that he's there. And that what? He will respond. He is a rewarder. When you come to him and you choose to believe that he is there, he will reward you with his presence. He will reward you for believing that he is there. Amen? Isn't that good? Hallelujah. All right, let's go to James chapter 4. Go all the way back over here to James. Now, yeah, we turn to a lot of scriptures here. We consider ourselves to be a word church. We always ask the question, right? Somebody wants to challenge something we believe, we just simply ask. We don't argue. We don't fight about it. We just simply say, where's the scripture? Everything we choose to believe here, everything that we believe here, we find it in the scriptures, and we know that it's scriptural. Amen? So we do use a lot of scriptures. Watch this. James chapter 4 and verse 6. Watch this. It says, and God, talking about God, he gives grace generously, as the scriptures say. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Right? But what is humility? So what is humility? Humility is saying, I humble my opinions and thoughts, and I defer to God's opinions and thoughts. Humility, pride is the opposite. Is it pride? It says, no, I know what I need to do. I know how I need to be. I know I can talk however I want to because I know. Right? But God says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Amen? So he says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So, he says, humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, too many people are trying to resist the devil, but they haven't humbled to God yet. They want it their way, but they want to resist the devil. Well, no, authority comes with humility. Or you can turn it around. Humility brings with it authority. You cannot walk, you can't separate the two. You can't walk in authority, in the authority of God, without being humbled to God. Amen? But here's what I want to get to right here. Verse 8. So come close to God, and he will come close to you. Amen. Isn't that good? So how do we draw near to God? Come close to God, he will come close to you. Well, how do we come close to God? We've already covered it. Two things. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You must believe that he is there. So I want to challenge you this week to begin working on becoming God conscious. In fact, it would help you if every day when you get up, Lord, I thank you for being here. Throughout the day, Lord, I thank you for being with me. Begin to reshape your thinking. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world's way of being, doing, and acting, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to change that image. If you believe that God is far away, you need to start declaring, oh, God is right here, because he is. Even though you feel, now we're not talking about being led by feelings. You may feel, there's times that I feel like God's not anywhere to be seen. Because if I'm not careful, I allow myself to get more focused on my issue. Know this, the more you focus on your problems, the further God seems to be away. But just because God seems to be a long distance away doesn't mean that he is. It just means that your focus is on the wrong thing. But the more, think about this, the more, how many know this? The more you think about the problem, the more concerned you become about the problem. The more you think about the problem and the challenge and the stuff that you're facing, the more real that problem becomes and the bigger that thing becomes. Right? What if you flip that and begin to focus on God? Psalmist said this, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Right? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify. What's a magnifying glass? I don't know about you, me, and most other little boys. We like to get little magnifying glasses, especially out in the sun, and burn the ants. I know, it makes me sound mean. But what does a magnifying glass do besides burn ants? Okay, what it does is it makes something that is this small, it makes it appear much bigger. Right? Too many people are magnifying their problem instead of magnifying God. Here's the difference. God is big. God is big. What he's saying there is you need to quit looking at God as if he's small. And begin to see God as huge. God is big. God is great. There is, and I've said this so many times, it's not God and the devil and they're in this tussle. They're just wrestling match. And God's losing. Oh, here comes God. It's No. A million times no. No, it is God and the devil. Way down here. It ain't even close. Right? Amen? All right. Got to keep that in mind. Don't let the devil become bigger than he is. The Bible says that there's going to be a day we're going to see him for who he is, and we're going to go, oh my gosh, is that what caused me all those problems? And we're going to feel like idiots. We're going to go, oh, I can't believe I let something like that control my thoughts. Control the way that I act. Oh, my goodness. What is wrong? Oh, that is so crazy. Oh, God, I'm so embarrassed right now. God's going to be sitting there. Tried to tell you. Amen. All right. Let's look at Psalm 139. It says, come close to me and I will come close to you. Psalm 139. Let's look at this real quick. I'm just going to read through these 10 verses, and I'm not going to preach on them all, I promise. O Lord, you have, verse 1, O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. Notice it says, when I'm far away, not when God's far away. We distance ourselves from God. God never distances himself from us. Heather said it a while ago, God hasn't gone anywhere. If you feel like you've walked away from God, that's exactly what has happened. You've walked away from God. God didn't walk away from you. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be right there with you. So he says here, he knows when I sit down. He knows when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel, when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know that I am going to, you know what I'm going to say even before I say it. Hallelujah. I keep thinking husbands and wives every time I read that. We kind of wish we could do that with the other, don't we? Man, I wish I knew what she was going to say. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. Yeah, sometimes maybe we don't want to know what they're saying. Okay, that's true. You go before me and follow me. The place... You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. Watch this, verse 7. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. It's like, you know, he's saying, even, Lord, if I found the furthest, driest desert and I found a cactus and I hid behind it, you would be going, peekaboo. I see you. So in other words, you can't get away from God is right there. You can't get away from him. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. Everywhere I go, oh, I can't get away from God. It blows my mind how people are running from God. Like you're going to actually be able to, what a futile, you know, attempt. Well, I'm just going to go over here and I'm going to get away from God. I'm going to run down to the bar. Well, guess what? God's in the bar. God's everywhere you go. He's there. Right? So we need to understand those that come to him must believe that he is, that he's there. I challenge you to make that decision today. God is always right there with me. I remember I used to pray a certain way, and the Lord had to check me one day, and I've renewed my mind the way I pray now. But I used to say, oh, Lord, I just, especially for my son or my family, Lord, I just ask that you would just be with him today. One day God's like, I'm always with him. Why do you keep praying that? You need to quit praying that. I said, oh, Lord, sorry. Yeah, Lord, thank you. I know you're always with him. I don't know why I started praying that. Right? Probably some religious thing I picked up somewhere. Right? But now I say, Father, I thank you for being with Elijah. I thank you for being with Heather. I thank you for being with each and every person in our church. I thank you for being with my mom. I thank you, Lord, for being with me. I thank you that you are always with me. Amen. Amen. Number one, two things today. One, believe that he is there. So I challenge you to believe that he is there. Amen? Look at this. I'm going to read this out of the New King James. It's Psalm 27, verse 13. In the New King James, it says this, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. I would have lost heart. I would have given up unless I had believed. What does it go on to say? That I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's right here, right now. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that you're there. Unless I had believed that you're with me. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Now go with me to Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to read a few verses here. You don't have to look them up. I didn't even tell them to put them up on the screen. In fact, I didn't give them the list. I'm just going to read through these as you're getting to Romans chapter 8. But look at this. It says here in Deuteronomy, you know, because Jesus said, seek me and you will find me. Seek and you will find, right? In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 20, I'm reading all these in the New King James. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, it says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all of your mind. All of your heart and all of your mind. Why did he say all of your mind? Because it doesn't happen automatic. You have to seek him out, right? Be aware that he's right there. Lord, I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that as I read my Bible, you're revealing things to me. You're showing me things. Amen? Those type of things. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and all of your soul. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 19 says, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Set your heart and your soul to seek. In other words, make a decision. When he says set your heart, in other words, you could say is focus. Put your focus on knowing him. Put your focus on the fact that he is right there and that you can know him better. Amen. And he will reveal himself to you. Now, remember this about that right there. Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. What you focus your mind on, you open your heart up to. What you set your mind on, you get to set your mind. But whatever you set your mind on, you open your heart up to. Right? Now, I've used this analogy before, and it's no truer than it is right now for me today. I typically don't, especially during the winter months, I don't think about golf. In fact, I haven't really thought too much about golf for the last couple of years just because I haven't really had an opportunity to go play. Right? But then I went on down to visit Heather's family last week, and I thought, you know what? We're staying in a hotel right there on the golf course. I'm going to take my golf clubs with me. And I'm going to, some people may not call it playing golf. I'm going to go ball hunting. Right? So I took my golf clubs with me. The morning we're supposed to leave, I kept doing stuff with the family, but the morning we're supposed to leave to come back, Heather's like, why don't you go play golf? So I got my golf clubs and I went down. It's 9 holes. You know, I didn't want to take up all day because 18 holes would have took me all day. So I go out there and I you know, go ball hunting for a few holes, right? I mean, there's one time I teed it up, hit the ball, and I'm looking up here for where the ball's going. The reason I couldn't find it because it went that way. So I went ball hunting. But what happened? I set my mind on that, and now my heart is opened up to. Now I come back, and I'm like, honey, I got to get you to the driving range. I don't like hunting balls that much. So I got to figure out how to hit this thing straight, but I want to play golf again. Why? Because I opened my heart up to it. What you put your focus on, you open your heart up to.
Come on. That's good.
Right? In Colossians, in the Amplified, it says, set your mind and keep it set. So if you make the decision today, I'm going to set my mind on knowing God. Yeah. I'm going to set my mind on the fact that he is right here with me right now. Mm-hmm. You know, some people say, well, God's as close as your next breath. No, he's closer than that. Mm-hmm. He is in you. Yeah. That's closer than your next breath. He's not a breath away. He is in you right now, and he is wanting you to know him. Amen. So what you set or focus your mind upon, you open your heart up to. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. Watch this. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. If you will seek him, you will find him, and you will experience all of his goodness. He is a good God, and he is just waiting to unload it all upon you. But he's looking for those who will diligently seek him, that will look for him. Amen. Hallelujah. Second Chronicles, most of us know this one. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, there's humility. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. See, most people are seeking his hand, what they can get from God. But there's not very many people that are actually seeking him to know him. But he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will hear them. Not only that, and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Right? If we would just look to him and get to know him, he will hear you. And he will heal you. And he will help you. Amen. In whatever situation you're facing. Amen. Anybody at Romans 8 yet? Should be. All right. Here we go. Romans 8, chapter 5. You've heard me talk about this one here recently as well. But in Romans chapter 8, it's my last scripture. Actually, I've got one more after this that we're going to end with, but I didn't give this one to them, though. It's one I added at the end, right before I came out, because the Lord impressed it upon my heart. Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. And I've tried to help you understand that what that is saying is those who are dominated by the flesh or by carnal nature, they're dominated by the flesh because they've previously set their mind on fleshly things. And those that are dominated by the Spirit, they're dominated by the Spirit because they have previously set their mind on spiritual things. But I want you, now I've shared that with you, but I want to go one verse further because it comes with a promise. For both of them. Watch this. Verse 6. So, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. That's a promise. Letting your flesh, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But, everybody can say, but God. But God. Right? But letting the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, control your mind leads to life and peace. So that's where we want to be. That's why we want to get to know God and allow the Holy Spirit to control. And when I say the Holy Spirit controls, he will not dominate you. You have to give him control. Right? We're giving the Holy Spirit free rein to say, if I go to do something and that's not right, would you check me on it? Let me know that I shouldn't be doing that. If I go to say something and it's not the right thing to say, then check me on it. You're giving him permission to control your life, in other words. Amen? And that's where we want to be. One more verse. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. I'm just going to read it to you. You don't have to turn there. But before I read that verse, let me ask you this question. Does it matter what you think on? Does it matter what you think on? What does it matter what you put your focus on? Oh, absolutely it matters. That's why we want to put our focus on God. God, you're right here with me. See, that's a great comfort to know that every time I step up here, I'm not up here on my own. He's right here with me. And he's leading me and guiding me and helping me. Amen? Help me. He helps me to know when I start to preach things twice and tells me to back off and keep moving forward. So that's what I did today. Hallelujah. See, because I start talking about stuff I talked about before. I get just as excited this time as I was last time. All right. Isaiah 26, 3. Watch it. Because in that Romans 8, verse 6, it's talking about life and peace. Those that allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and dominate you, or not dominate you, but to control you, give control to the Holy Spirit, there is life and peace. Well, look at this. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace All who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. See, you can tell someone who their thoughts are not fixed on God because they're anxious, they're frustrated, they're concerned, they're, oh, why is God not doing this? Your thoughts are not fixed on him. Because it tells us right there, you know, he will keep you in perfect peace. You know what perfect peace is? I'm not worried about it. I don't have to be frustrated. I don't have to be anxious about anything. In fact, the Bible tells us in Philippians, be anxious for nothing. But by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known made unto God. What are you worried about? You just let the one who can fix everything, you just let him know about it. Right? So don't worry. Be happy. You know, I've said it this way before. Don't worry about what you can do something about because you can do something about it. And don't worry about what you can't do anything about because you can't do anything about it. So why worry? So don't worry. Be happy. Amen? All right. Amen. You will keep them in perfect peace, all who trust in you. He don't keep everybody in perfect peace. But he keeps those in perfect peace who trust in him, all whose thoughts are fixed on him. Amen.